Hey everybody, welcome to my podcast show called Health Beat. My name's Brian Hazelgren, and this show is all about topics related to health and wellness and developing a positive lifestyle. We discuss topics about healthy living, and the show is full of ideas, innovations, science, and discussions with experts for the very best possible solutions to take care of your body and mind. It's time for you to feel better and look better and learn more about what's out there to help you achieve better health and wellness. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen to Health Beat. Let's get started. Hello, once again, this is Brian Hazelgren. So glad you could join us for another episode of Health Beat. Very excited about our topic today. We have several things that we want to discuss that are obviously related to your health and well-being. Today, we're going to talk about an important topic that is affecting millions of Americans and millions, maybe even billions of people around the world. We're going to be discussing mental health today and some things you can do to help curb some of the craziness that's out there in the world. But for now, I want to thank you for joining us. And I also want to jump right in to kind of discuss, you know, where we're headed and what we've seen and the important things that we all need to be aware of, because folks, we are facing a mental crisis that's probably a lot bigger than we want to admit. We're talking about things like depression and anxiety that are going through the roof statistics wise. And there's also suicide rates that are climbing up. That's on a dramatic rise. Today, we're even talking about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, or even PTS. Normally that was reserved in discussions for military personnel because of the trauma they have witnessed. And also with athletes with blunt force to the head, we were talking about PTSD in those discussions. Today, we're actually talking about that same topic with rank and file Joe and Jane that go to work. And we've never really done that before. So I think we need to spend a little bit of time addressing this issue. I also want to point out a few things that are are adding to everyone's anxiety and depression and other levels of this mental health crisis. I mean, we've all just come through a pandemic. We've had mandates that have been shoved down our throats. We've had lockdowns that we didn't agree with. Now we're focusing on inflation and higher prices. We're seeing wars and rumors of other wars around the world. Our country is severely divided. And we also are seeing an increase in opioid addictions and increase in suicide. So, you know, we should start addressing this and talking about it. And one of those areas that caught my attention in some other articles recently was how employees are facing their future. They're worried about other shutdowns. They're worried about traveling. They're worried about having to be forced to get a vaccination. They're worried about their cut in pay, maybe even the business even surviving. They're worried about being displaced or even complete loss of employment. They have a lot of tasks assigned to themselves, you know, based on the work that they do. We've even got entire departments that are shackled with negative thoughts and shutdowns within companies. We've got negativity that bleeds out left and right all throughout the company. And I think that people have become less effective. And I'm going to include myself in that category with being overwhelmed with certain things and having to deal with the stresses of life. But again, bringing it all back to the mental health crisis, if we're less effective and our productivity personally is down, what does our company look like? Statistics are showing from several different articles that productivity is down between 30 and 40% in 2022. It's become increasingly difficult, according to other studies, for employees to be able to focus on certain tasks. And then when we're unable to focus, when our productivity's down, all of a sudden now we're dealing with depression and anxiety and negative feelings and, you know, kind of I guess we have to look at it that enough is enough. I even saw an article, by the way, I'm citing articles from HR Executive Magazine, from Mental Health Index, and SHRM, Society of Human Resource Management. Here's another statistic I want to throw out there. The U.S. Worker edition of the Mental Health Index. The risk of post-traumatic stress disorder was up 36% between February and May of last year, and even went as high as 55% higher than it was prior to COVID-19 and the pandemic. Those are staggering numbers. Here's another one. Sustained attention has declined 24%. And in the beginning of, the end of last year, and now it's declined. So sustained attention has now declined 59%. 59% has declined since the pre-pandemic levels. And if you compare that to the ages of some of those employees, those that are 60 and above are showing a whopping 125% decline. Those who are ages 20 to 39 are showing an average of around 37% decline in sustained attention. So then we have to start asking ourselves when we think about or hear about some of these statistics, you know, what should we be doing to address this mental crisis? Now, there are some things that we can do. We can start looking at, better awareness, talking with a specialist. Working with a specialist or maybe even a mental health counselor, do a brain mapping session. That's a very key topic. Or today's topic, what I really want to get into the heart of this matter is take a behavioral health screening. So let's focus our time and attention on that today. And let's also welcome to the program a good friend of mine and a business colleague and someone who knows this space pretty well, knows it very well. His name is Dallin Downing, and Dallin has been involved in behavioral health for several years as a brand ambassador of this type of service. He's also seen a lot of good come from behavioral health screening. So Dallin, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you here, my friend. Welcome to the program today.
Thanks, Brian. Good to be here, and thank you for having me on. It's an important
Absolutely.
Topic.
It is an important topic, and Dallin and I are old athletes, so we got to see firsthand what it was like to have concussions in football or being involved in sports and athletics. We also have kids that have been involved in sports and athletics, so that's obviously one topic, but you know, just those statistics that I was reading off and from several different sources, Dallin, there's so many different things to focus on. And I mentioned that one of those areas would be awareness. We need to start being aware of what's going on. So let's talk, if we could, about behavioral health screenings, the things that you've been involved in, the things that you've seen. But let's define that. What actually is a behavioral health screening?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right, Brian, in your synopsis of recent history. You know, back a few years ago, the opioid epidemic was a huge issue and a huge problem, and the government has invested heavily in getting ahead of that issue and that problem. Since then, as you've outlined, we've had the pandemic, the COVID-19, all the stresses related to that, and then also number three, now we have a war that's going on, and so all these anxiety-causing issues going on in the world are escalating. And one thing that we also can point out is things are different today than they were when you and I were growing up.
Very.
When something happens on the other side of the world today, we know about it immediately. And so, the wars that are going on, the disturbances, challenges that we're seeing in the world today are as close as our phones. And so all this can have a mental effect. It can have a negative effect on our mental psyche. And so, yeah, that leads us to behavioral health screenings. Behavioral health screenings are tools that are used by medical professionals to help identify mental health, substance abuse issues by multiple different screenings that are available. Depending on the patient's situation, different screenings can be prescribed by a medical professional. And most of them can be done within 10 minutes. And so a quick screening that is done confidentially with the patient can reveal if there are certain problems or not going on with the patient. And so that's what we're talking about is behavioral health screenings. You're talking about making it more of a discussion topic, which is actually happening because of all these things that we've mentioned. It's coming to the forefront, and we actually have many celebrities like Jim Carrey and Adele and Beyonce, several professional athletes as well, have come forward and spoken out about mental health, and it needs to be addressed. And so it can't be a stigma that is buried or be ashamed of. It's something that needs to be discussed and brought up and professional help sought out. So that's why we're here, and that's why we're discussing it.
So with these behavioral health screenings, normally we're talking about some type of a, you know, medical office, medical practice setting. The patient, from what we've seen, is that the patient comes into the office and receives a quick overview that they'd like, you know, the doctor would like them to take a quick mental health screening. They're handed a tablet. Now, what happens after that? What do they do? If they do this type of screening, are there certain questions that they have to be asked? And then, you know, how long do those screenings take? And then let's talk about some of the results that the doctor then can then be made aware of.
Yeah. So a typical scenario would be a patient coming into the office like they normally do. And then a behavioral health screening can be prescribed based on the patient's background. If there's a lot of people are screening for anxiety and depression right now, it could be alcohol related or drug dependency, whatever it might be, but a specific screen, behavioral health screening is prescribed. It is pulled up on the tablet by a staff member, and there's a quick sign off by the patient that they're taking the screening that was recommended by the doctor. And then they, like I mentioned, it's a confidential screening that they can take right on the tablet. The questions are easy to answer. They just read and point and click with their finger on the touchpad to answer the question, and it takes them right through the process. We have a software technology that can allow for multiple screenings at the same time. Usually patients will do a couple screenings at, while they're on it. And so it's confidential. It could be done right in the practice. It can also be done virtually as well. And so we find that when a patient is answering questions on a tablet, they're more honest with their answers as opposed to someone asking them directly face to face. And so it helps get good, honest answers from the patient so that the doctor can, you know, take a look and see what the issues are. So like I mentioned, most screenings can be done 5 to 10 minutes. They can get through a couple of screenings. And then when the patient finishes, they click the submit right on the tablet. And the results are immediately available for the practice or for the physician to review with the patient.
And then who sees that data?
That's only seen, it's all password protected. So it's only available through the practice, through the physician. They're able to print off the results if they would like or share with the patient. They can see the questions that were asked as well as the answers that were given. And then we also have some prompts to the physician as to recommendations that might be made based on the responses. So there can be a warning, a red flag. You know, our software that we have will let the physician know if there's danger signals, maybe suicidal or abuse, excessive alcohol or drug use. So it can quickly identify any problem issues, or it might be sailing straight through, no issues at all. And so then the doctor is armed with information on how to proceed with that patient.
Okay, excellent. You know, I was just looking at myself on screen today. I forgot to mention, for those of you that are watching this on the video portion, I had a sty, that I got something in my eye over the weekend, and literally had my eye, it was completely shut the last couple of days. At least now it's open, but I've got some lingering effects. So I did not get punched during the night. It wasn't in a fight. It's just a little bit of a discoloration of the eye still from that sty that I had. So those of you that are seeing this on video, don't get too scared. anyway, well, this is interesting. So there have been a lot of advancements in technology over the years. We started looking at this particular program. I remember getting interested about this about 4 years ago. And now it's been made available to where it's not just, you know, think about it here for a minute, folks, as you're listening in here, there were, you know, better part of 8 to 18 months of the pandemic where people were not coming to the office. They were only talking to their medical professional through telemedicine or telehealth or on the phone. So they weren't actually coming to the office. So that program, meaning the behavioral health screenings, was a tablet when they came into the office. All of a sudden, now they're not coming to the office. Now, all of a sudden, they're dealing with a lot of other things in their life. So now there's new technology available. Dallin had mentioned that these behavioral health screenings obviously can be done with the tablet in the practice, but also can be done virtually. And if it's only taking a few minutes, then by all means, we should be taking advantage of that. But Dallin, let's talk a little bit about the stigma that comes from mental health discussions with your medical professional. A lot of people are still a little nervous about sharing data or sharing information because it may, especially men, may make them look weak. I like what you said, that only the doctor sees the data. So this is not shared with a lot of people. Obviously, there's HIPAA violations that could happen or occur there in some instances, but it's not even shared with people in the staff, really, unless it's absolutely necessary. However, it does benefit the patient when they're starting to take these screenings and they can see the results and have a discussion with their medical professional, because they may not be fully equipped to then take it to the next level. Let's talk about that next level. So they get the results, they see what maybe some challenges are that they're facing. Medical professionals then give a referral, but who are they giving a referral to? And now, do they get that same data, those same results, the report? Is that portable? Is the patient able to then take it to maybe another professional who can help them get to that next level of counseling and get some additional help?
Yeah, that's a great question, Brian. And that's how the whole system is set up, is typically it's the family practice, the family doctor that is seeing the patient. And then when a specific problem is identified, maybe a patient is suicidal or something, they will have a mental health professional that they can refer them to. And that information is, of course, confidential with the patient and the practice. But that information is portable. With permission, it can be passed on to the next specialist to continue to work with them. In the meantime, the primary care doctor can maintain contact with the patient when a screening comes through and it is positive, meaning that there is an issue or a challenge there. The physician can follow up. Usually we'll typically follow up at least once a quarter, if not more often, and can screen quarterly to kind of get a gauge as to the progress that the patient is making for each area. So those charts and graphs are available in the software that we provide as well.
Okay, that's good. Let's dive a little bit deeper into the benefits to the patient. There's a long list of benefits. I won't name those off, but there's also a benefit to the practice, to the medical professional. Now that the discussion is happening about mental health issues with that particular patient, now there's an open door where the medical professional and the patient can start getting a little bit more detailed information passing back before. So that's obviously a benefit to the medical professional, because they can now understand their patient a little bit better and what they're going through, but they can also bill for this. The medical professionals can. This now becomes an ancillary stream of income About how many tests are there that the medical professionals could maybe look at? Because, you know, we've been in medicine a long time, you and I, and we have seen that medical professionals want to grow their practice if they're independent. They want to have additional streams of income. How does that work? And are all of these, so let's clarify for those that are listening, does the patient pay for this? Is this a cash pay service, or is there insurance that covers these mental or behavioral health screenings?
Yeah, so there's literally hundreds of screenings out there that are potentially available to use. But what we'd like to do in working with our practices and physicians is to make it kind of boil it down, make it more simple to them, and have screenings that are most commonly used by the patients that they see. And we can also cater the screenings to the specialty that the doctor has. But typically, we will carry about 30 different screening types on our software on the tablet that they take. And yes, there are CPT codes associated with these screenings. And so the benefit to the provider, of course, is they're able to, number one, provide better patient care because they're getting to the bottom of underlying issues of the patient. But number two, yes, they can be reimbursed and are reimbursed through Medicare and through private insurance as well for medically necessary screenings that are done. So a lot of physicians aren't aware of that. There's a lot of physicians out there that are doing screenings. They see the importance of it, but they haven't taken the time or don't have the know-how to put together a billing process to get reimbursed properly for the screening. And so that's what we help do, is help educate the physician, number one, on the ease of being able to import and onboard a behavioral health screening program for their practice. And then number two, be able to seamlessly get reimbursed for that and add revenue to their practice.
Okay. And typically doctors don't have time to source all of this. They're busy seeing their patients. Even the staff doesn't have time to source this out, to figure all this out. Let's talk about how we can put a program, the system that you have literally is a way for the doctors to say, okay, look, I know I need to do this. I want to do it. I want to have the technology available, but I also don't want to have to set up all the equipment. I don't want to find the vendors for the equipment. I don't want to bring in any special software. What does that look like for the doctor when your company comes to them and a representative from your company says, you know what, I can do this for you. You can outsource this information or this for us, because I know, doc, you don't have time. We'll take care of that for you. So now it becomes a partnership. So let's talk a little bit about RX to Live and what types of services can be made available, because the doctors just don't want to source this. They don't want to have to worry about that. How does all that, what package are you bringing to the doctors that even local RX to Live representatives can, you know, come and help the doctor understand this better, educate them, and then provide the package of equipment, services, and training for the staff? Let's go through that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we understand how busy physicians are and the staff as well. I mean, they're under a lot of strain. They're working longer hours. There's more regulation. There's more insurance hoops to jump through. And so we understand firsthand how difficult it is for practices to not only remain in business, but to try and be profitable at the end of the day without spending their whole lives at the office. And so our whole purpose and our whole design is to aid and support the practice. Practices have a system in place. When they bring on a patient, they onboard them, they bring them in, they take their blood pressure, they put them on a scale, they have a system in place. And so all we're doing is introducing one additional step to this system that once it becomes a part of their routine, they really don't notice a difference in time at all, because it just becomes second nature to them. And so in addition to putting them on the scale and taking their blood pressure, Now we pull up, you hand them a tablet while they're waiting in a waiting room, and they go through a quick screening. And so that screening process, you know, like we mentioned before, it can be done at the office. It can be done at home even before they come to the practice, before their office visit. It can be done through an email link that's provided for them. And so most practices that we talk to, once we're able to explain the program to them, are really surprised, pleasantly surprised at how easy it is to implement and to get up and running. And so, yeah, we have software available to them. They don't have to worry about that. We can personalize the software and the tablet to the practice so that their name and logo comes up. And that's what the patient sees when they come in. We can preload certain screenings into a template form so that they are available for their patients without the staff having to hand them the tablet multiple times and get them multiple tests. So there's a lot of things that we can do once we'll do a consultation with the practice to cater what we do to the practice, and so that it becomes seamless and doesn't interrupt the flow of the practice, but will actually improve, like I said, improve the patient care, and more, just as important, is improve their bottom line as well, and help them generate additional revenue for the practice at the same time helping the patient.
Lots of benefits going all the way around, from the patients to the physician, to understanding their patients better, to even providing ancillary streams of income to help them grow their practice. Great. That's great. That's a great package. We know that there's, you know, there's about 1.2 million physicians in the U.S. Are there a lot of physicians that are using this type of technology for their patients?
There, you know, in that context, there are a lot of physicians using it, but in the whole, there really isn't. There's a lot of physicians. There's still a lot of opportunity out there that's being left untapped, just because, like I mentioned, physicians either don't know about it, or they think they don't have the time to implement it, or maybe they did try it and they weren't getting reimbursed because they weren't doing it properly. And so there's a huge opportunity out there, and that's part of our goal, is educating physicians out there, not only in the benefits of providing behavioral health screenings for their patients, but the income that's available as well. The government can see the benefit behind it. That's why they've invested millions and millions of dollars and put up these CPT codes. They want physicians to use this practice because it saves a lot of money down the road. Early detection is the key with behavioral health screenings. And so, you know, we all know the costs of having an inmate in a prison or in a hospital for an extended stay. It's much less expensive for the government to help pay for these CPT codes through reimbursements to uncover the mental health issue early on before it escalates and becomes more expensive in either through hospitals or prisons later on.
So this is more of a turnkey system, a system that's done for you, for the doctors, so they don't have to source the vendor partners. They don't have to get the software, the hardware, even the training is all packaged together to help the staff understand how to walk the patients through the whole system. What about billing? Is there, because you mentioned earlier that sometimes they don't get reimbursed. Why is that? What I've seen in billing over the years is that it's usually a yes or no answer, and the billers typically don't go back and resubmit. Is that part of the problem? Is they're not resubmitting to get the reimbursement, or is it a bigger issue? And is there coaching available so that the physicians can, you know, not have to worry about a high percentage of those claims getting denied? What does the package can include to help them mitigate those claims being denied?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that is happening, has happened, and is happening too often, to where you know, the government has a specific process, a specific way the bill needs to be submitted in order to be reimbursed. And behavioral health screenings, even though it's been around for a while, it's still new to a lot of practices. And a lot of the billing departments, whether they have a third party do it or whether they try and do it in-house, they're still learning and they're still making mistakes. And like you mentioned, a lot of practice, they'll take it and submit it. And if it's rejected, they just move on and let it sit there. You know, we work with a biller that number one works with the practice in advance to make sure that the billing is done correctly, that the right CPT codes are used, that the timing is right on the screenings and so forth, so that it increases the reimbursement amount on the front end. But then on the back end, when it does come back, we can quickly recognize why it was denied and resubmit it and get that payment paid. And so a lot of it is just the know-how, and then having the time. Again, these practices, we understand they're under a time constraint. They may not have time to go back and resubmit. Sometimes it'll take two or three times, but when we have our partners that are set up and ready to do that process, it's a big benefit and a big help to the practice.
Okay. And so with that package, the training, the software, the equipment, is there a huge upfront cost for the doctors to have to consider, or can they get started fairly easily and fairly quickly with minimal cost?
Yeah, it's very, very minimal cost. There is a processing fee and onboarding fee to get started. For under $800, the practice can get a tablet. They can get the support, the software, and training to get started. And Brian, we're meeting with practices at their clinics with the physician and their staff, going through the software, answering questions within an hour. They're up, they're set up and ready to go. There is a little bit of pre-work in advance that our people will do to get the software set up on their screening, to get their logo and so forth in place. So there's a little bit of groundwork that way. But as far as the practice, we'll usually have it over breakfast or over a lunch break or whatever. We can come in, spend an hour with them. And it's basically just giving them a tour of the software, showing them how to load their patient information into the screening software, and then just having, and that's all it is. And then they're giving it to the patient. They take the test. It immediately logs the patient out. So it keeps that confidentiality. Once they complete the test, they're logged out of the system. And so the staff just needs to take it, log back in, set it up for the next patient, and hand the tablet on to the next patient. So again, practices are really, once we're able to explain and show them, they're just looking at each other like, wow, this is great. Yeah, we can do this. And so then of course we're there as a support if there's any questions or challenges that come along the way. But as long as there's internet access, the program is plug and play and is working great.
Excellent. Well, this is, you know, a tremendous benefit to the physician as well, because if the patients, if they come to the practice, the doctor doesn't have to wait for them to take that screening on the tablet. They can actually be taking the screening out in the waiting room or the exam room. By the time the physician gets there, he or she can now look at the results and actually have a nice conversation with them. This should be a, you know, there's a lot of doctors that need to know about this. It's a special program. It's really doing tremendous work for people that may have not even been to see their doctor for the last year or two. Right. And so now they've been through some difficult times in their life. The doctor may not have even known about it. And now they're dealing with depression or anxiety, but they wouldn't have known that if they weren't offered this particular screening program. They can literally help improve the patient's life and help improve the care to the patient, maybe even save a life or two, because we're dealing with mental health initiatives. So I think this is, so you know, what is kind of the average reimbursement per screening? So the doctors that are listening in or anyone connected in the medical system, they can start sort of in their mind figuring out, well, okay, this could be a nice ancillary stream of income. So what are the average reimbursements, and about how many patients would this be working in a normal practice in a month?
Yeah, so obviously there's a lot of different kind of screenings that take a different amount of time and follow up with the physician. So they vary, you know, the reimbursement screenings can be as little as $10 to $15 and up to over $250. But typically the range that we see with most of our screenings is the national reimbursement is about $45 per screening. And so, you know, if a practice is seeing 100 patients, or if they're screening 100 patients on a monthly basis, you know, times that by the average reimbursement, 45, that's $4,500 additional revenue coming into the practice.
So revenue they don't have today, but even more importantly, a better, clearer picture of what's going on with their patients. So obviously there's revenue, but the more important issue is getting to the heart of the problems that may be occurring with that particular patient, but getting paid for it at the same time.
It's a win-win-win all the way around.
And, good little program.
You know, it's society pays a price when we have people running around that are having challenges and issues with mental health, whether it's drugs or alcohol or depression or anxiety, we all pay a cost for that. And we've seen that, you know, on the news these last several years with tensions rising and so forth. And so when we bring a potential solution that's as powerful as behavioral health screenings, yeah, we want everybody to know about it. And we want to make it as easy as possible for them so that society benefits, the practice benefits, and of course, the patients individually are getting the help early on that they need to avoid bigger problems and more expensive problems later on.
Well, excellent point. And I think, again, the key point, folks, if you're thinking about this for yourself or for your loved one or someone you may know, it doesn't always even have to be where you physically show up at the practice. That equipment is there, that tablet's there, the software's there. That can be done in just a matter, as Dallin said, just a matter of a few minutes, but it can also be done virtually. It can be done, you know, through your computer and the results sent over to your physician. So don't sit back and think you know, this is not for you. As we started the program today, we pointed out many new statistics that we're now seeing with this mental health crisis that we're dealing with, and people who may not have been diagnosed with depression or anxiety or even PTSD a year ago, they may very well be diagnosed with that today, or at least they may have some of those issues that they may be dealing with. So this has gotten a lot bigger, a lot faster than we all had anticipated. I think we need to get our arms around this crisis. And as we both, Dallin has very clearly explained, and part one of those articles that I read off this morning, awareness is the first issue. That's the first key. Getting aware, becoming aware of what's going on in that particular person's brain and how we can help them be happy, be healthy, be more productive, and start dealing with some of those issues. But awareness is the first thing, and behavioral health screenings is a way to find out what is going on and provide that awareness of how we can help individuals. Now, this is tremendous information. It's very exciting. There's great technology, great services that are available to people. How can they learn more about behavioral health screenings? And are you available to help them as well? Can you answer their questions? But how do they get more information from you?
You bet. Yeah, we're here and available and happy to help with any questions that might come out. They can go to our website, rx2live. So it's the number 2, rx2live.com is our website where you can go and learn about all of our services. But there's a specific area for behavioral health screenings that they can read about, learn about. There's several articles on there. I just saw an article the other day, Brian, I think I mentioned this to you, about the decline in mental health of teenagers. You know, and you think, well, the pandemic, the COVID-19 didn't really affect teenagers so much as far as their infection rates and so forth, but all of the lockdowns and the masks and all this kind of stuff has had a big toll on their mental health. And so don't forget the teenagers. We want to help them as well. But also, Brian, if I can leave a phone number.
Please do.
For people to call 801-766-2077. They can call and get additional help that way. And we're happy to help anyone with whatever information they might need on behavioral health screenings.
Okay. So rx2live.com and 801-766-2077. 801-766-2077. You can also talk to Dallin Downing, our guest today, directly, and he can answer your questions for you. Dallin, thank you. It's been a tremendous pleasure having you on today. It's great information. It's information we all need to know about, and you've done a tremendous job explaining it to us. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Okay, everybody. I'm going to sign off for now. This is Brian Hazelgren. There's more things to come in future episodes. There's more tips and innovative ideas. We've got some amazing guests like Dallin today that are coming up in the future as well. We want to talk about healthy services and products that are available to you and really help you find your optimal level of health, wealth, and balance. Don't forget, you can also check out the book, my latest book, Eight Lifestyles of Positive People. You can find that on Amazon. You can also find that on the website for the podcast. So, and that's at positific.com. For now, again, this is Brian Hazelgren. I'll be signing off, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Make it a great day.